This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Mom, Thibaut Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Wow. Hold on. As we get ready to start ENN, Don sounds like he has something he wants to say.
Well, I'm just saying that I read the wrong text message.
No, I sent the wrong thing because I cut and pasted it. I sent it hurriedly, but I sent you the right one now.
All I'll say, Peter, is that what I was worried, he went.
That's where he went now. Yeah.
The good news is the joke is so repugnant. that unlike most of his other jokes, I think the audience could figure this one out.
The next Mark Sasso, he can't in good faith come up to my mom.
It's hard for him to talk to her.
It's hard to get over this.
It is hard to get over this.
A lot of people, I'm getting a lot of messages. People had to pull over to the side of the road just at the desire to be part of that holiday party with Don and Dick.
There you go. Bringing it back today.
How old is Richard from Manhattan?
You know, when I lived in Manhattan, I believe that he lived in my building. So he's in his 70s, I think.
I'm gonna go on a limb here. I'm gonna tell you something. Richard loves sports. Big sports guy.
Yeah.
That's a really bad thing for an all sports show. I know we veer from sports, but sorry that we tried to like actually focus on it for a second.
Hold
and
on.
Rick, I desperately need you to play in the Mark Sasso softball, but my mom usually sits out in the center field by the snack stand. Steer away. You can't in good faith ever greet my mom again.
Now, there's a lot
you
of...
can't say what you said having met my mom. Even though it was funny, you can't.
I know,
that's,
Don.
That's
I know.
Uncomfortable.
Well, listen, we have to unpack a lot, but I want to start over again. I want to say welcome to ENN, which is sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker U.S. Network. Real quick, Michael, you just threw in really haphazardly. You and Richard lived in the same building?
Yeah.
Did you ever interact?
Yeah.
So there's a good possibility that this party could have been your party.
I didn't say that's the way I envisioned the perfect party. I don't think you and Richard ever met, but that would just be a blast, the two of you.
What's Richard like? Would he chat you up a lot?
I mean, he was respectful of you know, time and space, but you know, he'd make a quick sports comment or something. He was a very nice man. I think he always walked his dog. He was a nice guy.
He's a nice man. He's a real nice man.
He wore a nice hat all the time. Man. Had a nice, you know, like a chapeau that he wore.
A chapeau?
Yeah. Like a fedora.
Wow, it's unfortunate. A friend of mine who's a regular listener to the show and a terrific rap artist, his name is Rashid Chappelle. He has a new project out right now called Sinners and Saints. It's tremendous. Great rapper. He wrote me, Don, and he knows exactly what Rick was saying. And he went, wow, Rick is wild! Exclamation points. I mean, I just want to say this. What he alleged, there are people from other, you know, who have a different sort of approach to things than Don does, where if this joke was implied, they wouldn't respond. Rick would just turn up dead. That's all that would happen. That's the level we went to here. Now, I do wish, though, if I didn't have so much respect. That's the thing. I have so much respect for your family, Don, that I couldn't even make the jokes I wanted to make about what the conversation must have been like when your father presented your mother with a gift, not because she had a big moment in her life, but because of an important Giants situation.
It's got a real Dave Rothenberg feel to it, doesn't it?
That's exactly what yeah. I thought. Like when he runs up to her and is like, baby, I just wanted to tell you I love you so much. I had to get you this necklace. And she knows it's all about the Giants.
And think about this though, Peter. So Danilo clanks a field goal off the crossbar. She's not getting the gift.
Well,
that's right.
When he does get it through the crossbar in overtime, she gets the gift. She had nothing to do with the missed field goal.
It's funny you bring that up. And this will be another story, I guess, that if Richard and I would, as we were exchanging stories at this fictional Christmas party. My brother grew up a Cowboy fan. So we're watching the game in our living room. It was a Saturday afternoon. My brother brings his friend Jeffrey Gillard over. And Jeff's a Cowboy fan. So when Dinello clanks the field goal, they jump up and down and celebrate.
Oh, no.
My father threw him out of the house.
I love that man. I never met him. I love him.
And by the way, isn't the Dave LaGreca being a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, it's so Dave LaGreca.
First of all, it's so him. He's such a troll. He's been a troll since he was a teenager. And it says everything you need to know about how much Mr. LaGreca preferred Don.
Oh, absolutely. But Don even things out by having a hideous mullet.
Not in 81.
And even the mullet couldn't erase that. I mean, the Cowboys?
There's stories we can't even tell about Dave that really angered Mr. LaGreca.
Oh, when Peter mentioned that I was the favorite, no truer words have ever been spoken.
Now, Denzel Mims, who the rookie wide receiver has been among the few things to sort of smile about if you're a Jets fan this season.
For sure.
He's been ruled out. He's healthy. But he had to tend to a family emergency in Texas, and he missed COVID-19 testing. So under protocols, he's not eligible to play against the Seahawks. So that's not a good thing for Sam Darnold.
No.
I got to tell you, 13.5 may not be enough. That might be a pick. That might be a three-point play tomorrow.
Whoa.
I hear you.
You got Seattle coming off a miserable loss. They're at home. The Jets will not have their number one weapon after coming off, at least from the players' perspective, the worst loss of their careers.
Now let's follow up this COVID story with Denzel Mims with another COVID story, and that is the disaster that is the Dez Bryant situation.
Mm.
Dez is now on the reserve COVID-19 list, despite announcing earlier today that he tested negative for coronavirus. So he has now tested negative for coronavirus over and over again, even though he missed the game the game against the Cowboys on Tuesday because of inconclusive tests and then potentially a false positive. So now he's on the reserve COVID-19 list and will miss next week's game against Cleveland. And he does not seem to have COVID-19.
It is weird that he had it on Wednesday and already he's tested positive. He's tested negative twice. That's a little odd.
Well, that means it's probably a false positive.
Right, because the first test that came back was inconclusive, which the NFL looks at as positive, which I get. And then they took another test while he was on the field hugging everybody. Then that came back positive, and they took him off. And now he's got two straight negatives.
So what's the NFL's response to having a player that tested negative twice on the reserve COVID list?
I think they quoted you from earlier. They go, it is what it is.
No, but what? I don't understand why he's on there if he's tested negative twice.
Me neither.
So think about the hypocrisy here. And this is what drives people crazy about all this stuff, okay? Is that meanwhile he's hugging and kissing everybody on the field during warmups when there was an inconclusive test out there. So he's allowed on the field when there's an inconclusive test and they're waiting for the other test that eventually comes up positive. Since then he's tested negative twice and now he still can't play on Sunday? It's Thursday. So you're telling me he can't take another test between now and Sunday and play? Or is there something to, once you're on the reserve COVID-19 list, then that's where you have to be? Is there some sort of like an NFL rule that once you go on there, you can't be taken off for a certain period of time?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it that's exactly what this is. It's right. Sort of in this the rigidity of some of these rules.
Now, Peter, I have something that I think is a pretty good ENN story. If I could just give it to you real quick. I don't think you have this one.
Okay.
So it's being reported. John Shannon, who covers hockey. Maybe Don knows him.
He used to be my boss at NHL Network.
Okay. He writes, source confirms the NHL is planning the private purchase of a COVID vaccine for all constituents involved in the potential upcoming season. Is that viable? I thought first responders and doctors and nurses and people in nursing homes and older people, I thought they get it no matter. Now you could purchase it?
I'll pay top dollar for it.
Well, I mean, here's what I would say, because I saw the same thing, Michael, and I wanted to investigate a little further about it, because obviously the first reaction is, though, that doesn't seem right. But will this vaccine be available for purchase for the general public? And I guess if it will be, then I guess it's okay, right?
But
and
nobody pays for this vaccine. Everybody has to get that's the rule of the vaccine. Everybody will get it for free. But if right. you're willing to purchase, you can move ahead of the line. And you know what? This isn't so outrageous, because remember when there weren't enough tests, and there still aren't enough tests, is Don still waiting on his? Leagues bought tests.
Right.
So there's no reason, if you could buy the vaccine, that the NHL and the NBA are going to have any problems whatsoever, and baseball should be able to start its spring training.
If a league
could buy a vaccine ahead of everybody else, which I think is unfair, but you know what? The way the world is, the wealthy and the influential probably do move ahead of lines, and it's terrible. We've seen cases of it throughout the last month. If they can pay for the vaccine, I can't believe, are they going to buy it from another country? Are they going directly to the drug maker and getting it?
See, that's the thing, is that it's not so much the paying for it to not paying for it. It's that, from what I understand, only a certain amount of doses are sent to the country, right? So it's not.
And our country doesn't have enough for everybody yet.
So if you want to say, well, hey, listen, hey, you're getting it for free, and that's why you get to where you are. But hey, you're willing to pay for it, then you don't have to wait online. But it's still taking, I would think, doses that could be available to the general public. If this country is only getting 100,000 doses, say, in that first batch, and you know how many 1,000 of them are going to be taken away to be given to NHL players. And then eventually another 1,000 for NBA and 1,000. You know, now it's 90. Now it'd be 96,000 instead of 100,000.
Right, you're taking away from people that are supposed to be getting it first. So, I mean, let's say let's put a number on it. It's $5,000 to get a shot on the black market. Then every wealthy person's going to pay that, and the people that really deserve to be first in line are going to be passed. It's patently unfair. It almost reeks of illegal. I mean, supposed to be the people that need it most are going to get it first. Any wealthy person would spend $100,000 to get it.
Well, by the way, there are a lot of people who are supposed to get it first who are skeptical and don't particularly want to get it first.
But that's fine. That's their choice.
But the point is, it's not necessarily their choice.
Depending on their job, there's
100,000 people that will be eligible. Actually, it's 50,000, right? Because it's two doses you got to take. So of the 100,000 vials that get sent to this country to start, 50,000 people will be vaccinated. And those 50,000 people are going to be first responders and people with underlying conditions, mm-hmm. right? But if you take a certain percentage of that out to vaccinate professional athletes, well, then only 46,000 are going to get it. So for every vaccine that is given to a professional athlete means someone is not getting the vaccine.
Right.
Unless there's some, like you said, are they getting it directly from the company? That this isn't affecting the 100,000 doses that the country's supposed to get to start, or however many it is?
Ethically, this is so sketchy. So sketchy. Well, and again, if sports leagues could purchase it, then there's no reason that baseball will not have spring training on February 15th. There's no reason. There's no reason to worry about the NBA or the NHL. There's no reason. But, boy, if this is in fact true, there's going to be a big, big shot at the NHL. And I don't mean that in a double entendre. I mean, they're really going to hear it from people. You can't move the head of the line because you're a sports league.
And I would doubt very seriously, Michael, that this would only be the NHL. It would probably be available to other sports leagues. But from an optics standpoint, I would think that the other leagues, no, we're not going to do that. But like you said in the beginning of this, like every NBA player was getting tested back in March when people were scrambling to know even how they got tested.
Did you see this story, Peter? A lot of NBA players don't want to take it because they feel that if they've had it, they've had the COVID, that serves as the vaccine when we don't know how long those antibodies last, and that a lot of people are saying that they have to bring in like President Obama or Bush
to talk with them and convince them that this is the thing to do. I mean, they're going to have to go that route because a lot of NBA
planning on doing that. I mean, they're going to be, we're going to see all these influential people taking the vaccine to let people know that it's safe. Although the funny part for me is that's the only thing that makes me feel skeptical is when I see that.
Why?
I'm good with it. When you trot out people to be like, look, everyone, it's okay.
But they did that. They did that. They gave Elvis the polio vaccine on television just to convince people to take it. I mean, it's something that's done. People respect some politicians. They respect entertainers, and they realize that those people don't want to like take a bad shot. If they take one, they're gonna have some trust in it. I mean, there are people out there that actually vote according to what some entertainers tell them to do.
There are some people who just straight up vote for entertainers.
True.
So back to the Jets for a moment. They are playing Seattle this weekend, which means they're playing Jamal Adams this weekend. Here's Jamal on playing the Jets.
I'm focused. I'm not going to get into the hype. I'll be there at the game. When they show up, they strap their helmet up just like I strap my helmet up. You know, we're going to go to work. It's simple as that, bro. I'm about that business, bro. Man, I'm at peace with all that. Man, I have a lot of relationships over there, even on the staff and whatnot. So I still keep in contact with the ones that's been there for me and the ones that have always had my back. You know, we still have a relationship to this day.
Doesn't sound like a lot of love coming from Jamal Adams, which is funny because Adam Gase, he didn't even realize him and Jamal Adams had a bad relationship.
I thought it was good, but obviously he felt different. I don't know. I never had any poor interactions with him. He was somebody I talked to a lot and communicated with. And, you know, it just kind of once offseason hit, there's nothing I can do. I'm not in charge of contracts. You know, I'm not involved in those talks. I mean, that's kind of where his agent and front office guys got to go to work.
You thought you had a good relationship with him. So when he made those comments right as he was getting traded, did that hurt you?
Yeah, I mean, it just surprised me. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Ah, it is what it is.
I don't want to, it's not defending Adam Gase, but kind of explaining.
Oh, here we go.
Let's face it. He's a guy that's oblivious to anything but the game at hand. Now, I do think that Jamal Adams kind of made up a rift with Gase to try to get the exit out. And if he's not listening or reading the papers and not really paying attention, I guess it's legitimately possible that he never thought there was an issue because there wasn't really one.
Possible.
Well,
is definitely possible.
The old cliche is when somebody's trying to tell you who they are, you should listen. And, you know, we kind of laughed at it when it happened when Adam was a weekly on our show last year. And right before Thanksgiving, we said, well, what's your family doing? Well, I'm not sure. Then you're oblivious. If you don't even know what your family's doing for Thanksgiving because you're so locked into the game plan, then that's an issue. So he probably didn't know. Even if Adam, if it wasn't a ploy and Adams really didn't like him, he'd have no clue. He has no clue. He doesn't have a feel. He doesn't know where his family's going for Thanksgiving. He said that on our air.
Yeah, because he's definitely not listening to the show. He's not reading the papers. Nobody probably told him. And if he's not involved in the negotiations, you know, I'm just saying that it is feasible that he had no idea.
All right, guys, a couple things I got to get to.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
Maybe we should take a break and have an extended ENN.
You know what? I literally
I
have
know a, you have a lot of stuff.
I have a lot left. So let's do it.
Well, all right. Let's do that.
See, that's the.
That's a pro.
Every once in a while, Peter,
he leads.
We're reminded on why he's who he is.
Well, also, I realize who butters the bread. ENN is the moneymaker here.
Thank you. And
people
guess what?
I love ENN.
And you know who butters the bread right now?
Who?
Our friends at WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker U.S. Network, your free $45 satellite entry is waiting. Go to BorgataPoker.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and in New Jersey to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. WPT Online Borgata Series sponsoring ENN tonight.
WPT, is that at all related to WFT?
Washington football team?
Yeah. All right, so when we come back, a very special Blossom and ENN.
Yes.
Extended ENN. It's that important. There's so many things to get to. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. As we move closer to the holidays, a gift to you is an extra long ENN.
Yeah.
Let's continue on. 2020 has been awkward for the Jets, 0-12. Last Sunday was brutal. Can't get much worse than that, right? Well, of course you can. Because they nominated their prestigious Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. And their nominee would be, and of course this is for the players who do the most off the field, the most quality human beings on your team. And they nominated cornerback Pierre Desir. Don, what's the issue with that?
He's not a Jet anymore.
But isn't it like the Nick thing, once a Jet, always a Jet?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he's near and dear to fans' hearts, but he was let go on November 17th. So he was nominated by the Jets, but he's on the Ravens.
Now, the Ravens obviously have someone, right?
Presumably.
But I kind of... The NFL's got to take a hit for that, too. All right? Even if he was the person that was going to get that, not everybody gets it. Every team is a nomination for all 32 teams. One person will win it. But don't you have to? It was basically a month ago, 3 weeks ago, that he was off the team.
Unless he was the only guy that the Jets nominated.
Come on. But so then you go back, and there's got to be somebody else that was second that then can represent the Jets. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of great charity work that is done by other players besides Desir. So the NFL's got to take a hit for this, too. As a matter of fact, I don't even think you can really fault the Jets for it. It makes them look bad, but it's not their fault. It's really the NFL's fault.
Let's go someplace positive.
Please.
Our very own Lewis Riddick was on with Greeny earlier talking about how good this Giants team is getting.
They have a pretty darn good defense. A defense that went up to Seattle last week and totally had Russell looking around going, what the heck is going on? Like, why am I not able to play like Russell Wilson? Why am I not able to just rip these guys apart like I rip apart everyone? Daniel Jones is a guy who continues to grow and continues to get better and better. No Saquon Barkley, what happened? Wayne Gallman is a guy who right now, Jason Garrett, has turned into a quality starting running back in the NFL because he's stuck with him. The guy is mentally resilient. They're just showing who they are in the locker room.
A place that is not, it's not always sunny in right now is Philadelphia. Especially if your name is Carson Wentz. He has been benched for Jalen Hurts. And he is still getting support, though, from some of his teammates. Let's hear from Fletcher Cox.
You know, it sucks because at the end of the day, it's never just one person. It sucks for a guy like Carson to be in the position that he's in right now. You know, again, though, I still support Carson. He's my guy. And right now, you know, instead of worrying about the drama and stuff going on, we just need to worry about and focus on winning the game.
Jason Kelce among the players also publicly supporting Carson Wentz.
There's a story in The Athletic. I mean, it's a long feature about what went wrong and how much the Eagles really have invested in this guy. I'm not just talking about the money. I think he counts $54 million against the cap. But every move they've made over the last 4 years has been all about Carson Wentz, including moving up to the number two spot in the draft to get him. They fell in love with him. They met with him in North Dakota, the whole deal. And then systematically they decided to give him the big contract and let Nick Foles go. Nick Foles was a god there after winning the Super Bowl. So everything over the last 4 or 5 years been centered around this guy being the center of the Eagles universe, and now it's kind of up in the air. Is he ever going to play quarterback for the Eagles again?
He's got to with the money that's invested. Besides, Jalen Hurts doesn't look like somebody that's got a viable future to be their starting quarterback. And as R.J. Bell said, it's really a sacrificial lamb. The Saints are only the best defense in football. So is this just a way of trying to boost up the confidence of Wentz, like somebody else pilot the team, they lose worse than they would have if Carson blade. It's got to be some kind of motivating factor. You can't tell me the Eagles benefit from this at all.
Well, I mean, they the whole idea of everything's around Wentz. They checked with Wentz before they took Hurts with the second-round pick. A second-round pick is high real estate to pick up a backup quarterback to back up a guy who has a monstrous contract.
Well,
at the time, it didn't make sense, but I think Howie Roseman said, we want to be a quarterback factory. We want to make quarterbacks.
And also, I think they were kind of hoping that he would be what Hill is to the Saints,
right?
That he could be somebody that can come in, they can create certain packages for him, and also be insurance in case Wentz got hurt again, because let's face it, he does get hurt a lot. So is it possible that they drafted him thinking not so much insurance for Wentz, but also we can probably create an offense around this guy?
Is it also possible that they know the team this year is putrid? They know that Wentz has not been right and doesn't appear to be getting right. So they're just like, let's develop Hurts and try to work on what's wrong with Carson Wentz, but it's not happening right now with this team anyway.
It could be. That's a good guess, but I don't think they know what's wrong with Wentz. I mean, because that was the big deal. I think they had their bye week in week 9, and the whole thing was, let's get Carson right. And then he's just been probably worse than he was before the bye week.
And I know
they don't know what's wrong with him.
And I know Chris Canty's been a big advocate. And by the way, you can listen to Chris with, you know, DCR for now between the hours of 8:55 and 11. But soon, January 4th, they're going to be moving to 5 in the morning till 8 in the morning. Big believer that it's not Peterson's fault. This is a bad quarterback situation. But doesn't Peterson have to take a hit for not being able to fix Wentz?
Well, there are some rumors he could lose his job.
And they, maybe that would be unfair. He won a Super Bowl 5 minutes ago, and that was Chris's point. But I don't think you could absolve him and just say, well, the quarterback's been bad. Well, you have a former quarterback as the head coach. I think some of what's happened to Wentz has to be his responsibility, no?
You would think.
Now, we talked earlier about this, and Michael, you defended Coach K. Coach K and Duke are 2-2 early on, a couple of non-conference losses, which has never happened to Duke at this part.
At
home.
Right.
At this stage of the season, just losing games like that, these non-conference games, is just not something that happens. And then Coach K made a statement about, given the safety, mental health, physical health issues, he doesn't think it makes sense to be playing basketball. Well, then Nate Oates, coach at Alabama, came out and questioned Coach K's motives. And said, do you think if Coach K hadn't lost his 2 non-conference games at home, he would still be saying that? Now, Michael, you said you thought that was ridiculous and that Coach K is not that short-sighted. It's not about that. Well, maybe it's not. But right now, the breaking news is that as of right now, Duke will no longer play non-conference games.
I see the wisdom in that.
You know, me too, but I can't say it helps your argument. I can't say it helps it make it look like it has nothing to do with that.
But he's going to play better teams in the ACC than he will from non-conference schedules for the most part.
But what's the difference from a health standpoint?
Because for the most part in the ACC, it's kind of centralized. I mean, yeah, they have to travel to Maryland, but I mean, you're
not anymore.
Okay, that's true because they're in the Big Ten. But the research triangle, you're traveling by bus to North Carolina State, the North Carolina, I mean, The games are not that far away, and maybe it cuts down on plane travel and stuff like that. I could see it. I could see it. And if I was Mike Krzyzewski, I'd call up Oates and go, yo, do what I did before you say stuff about me. Go coach an Olympic team. Go. Shut up. Don't question my motives. I'm Coach K.
Yeah, that's where I go if I'm Coach K, too. I mean, it's hard for – who's Nate Oates? No, literally, who's Nate Oates?
Non-conference games, do we know?
Sorry?
What were their remaining non-conference games?
They had a couple big ones coming up. I just deleted this story, unfortunately.
I have it here.
Gonzaga? Who else?
Okay.
That's a big one. Gonzaga's a great team. Gonzaga's a great team.
And Andrew, what's the other one?
I see December 12th, they had Charleston Southern.
That's big a tough deal. One.
And December 19th, they had Gardner-Webb.
Again, well, nothing you games.
You got to watch out for G-dubs.
No, you're thinking Spud Webb.
Andrew also sent me earlier the ESPN's NBA countdown of the league's best players. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
100 best players in the league. I have all the local players highlighted, thanks to Andrew Gunlin. Let's just play a quick game before we wrap up ENN. Who's the highest on that list?
I would say, I mean, it's hard to say if Durant is because we don't know what Durant is.
It's Durant.
I'll say Durant.
All right. What 15? Number do you think he is?
Well, if they have him ranked high, they still think of him as Kevin Durant. So he's in the top five.
He is number six. LeBron, AD, Giannis, Doncic, Kawhi, KD.
Hmm. Well, KD's next, right. He's better than, I think, Kawhi and Doncic.
And I
yeah, me
and
too.
Then next would be Kyrie, right?
That's right. Any guess where Kyrie is?
13?
21st.
25.
All right.
The next player locally does not appear until number 46. Who would that be?
It could be...
Here's a hint.
Dinwiddie.
Well, here's a hint. 46 and 49 are both local players.
Dinwiddie and LeVert.
That is right. LeVert really? At 46, Dinwiddie at 49.
All right, so no Knicks in the top 50 at least, right?
Right. Well, we got a Knick. Here, there's a Knick sighting at number 92.
Julius Randle.
Mitchell Robinson.
Wow.
Young Mitch, 92.
A guy whose range really is 2 feet. I mean, I like the player, but that's a high ranking for a guy who doesn't have any kind of offensive game.
Top 100 players in the league, the Knicks have one, unless there's somebody outside of 92.
No. It rounds out with local players. Jared Allen, 94. Joe Harris at 100.
Wow, the Nets have a good team. They really do.
They really do. And the only thing, so I was thinking about, we'll probably have predictions, right? At this, you know, before the season starts. Although, Alan, you're not going to be on the air, Michael.
I can call in.
And I was thinking, where would I put the Nets?
Not going anywhere.
And I keep thinking about that first year with LeBron in Miami. And there was some chemistry issues early on. And with a 72-game schedule, is it possible that maybe they could be a team that's like 5-5 to start the season because of some chemistry issues? And could that stop them from being a one seed? So I'd have them a three seed in the East.
I want to see the two exhibition games they play. I want to see how Durant looks. Everybody said he looks like Kevin Durant, but I want to see. Let me see.
I don't know, but do you think you'll really see?
And both of those games will be on, yes, December this Sunday and then Friday, December 18th.
He wouldn't go all out in those games, would he?
Yeah, but you'd see something.
Yeah, you could see how he moves.
He wants to test himself, too. I don't think he's going to play 40 minutes.
But we can see a little bit of how he looks.
Right.
That will do it for our extended ENN.
One of the great Michael K. decisions.
Wow. I'm very proud of the decision I made.
Would you think, Michael, since, let's face it, ENN goes to 37 every day, that this is just what we do moving forward? Unless we have a guess.
We'll see. It's a good thought by you.
Take it under consideration.
How about you? Because you're in charge, Michael, right?
No, not really.
Wow, stop trying to placate
him. I think this whole week has proven that's not the case.
Right.
No, I think it's proven it is.
No, it's not.
All right. You're going to, at 26, you'll always make the decision whether it's over or we continue. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair. I just felt that we even took away Peter's hello today because we bigfooted him. And we have to break. Even though we did this the right way, we're still late.
Go.
Hey, LeGreco, Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.